The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us this morning as we have assembled together to see what God's word wants to tell us in his word this morning. It's just a beautiful morning out there. Summer is going by. We're approaching the end of June and beginning of July. Before we know it, this will be over, but let's enjoy it while we're here. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not here, why not enjoy today? I think that's the purpose. And so today we want to be assembled and be together in God's word. I want to choose for our opening verse Psalm 50:23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the show the salvation of God. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Let us unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for a beautiful day. Thank you for the spring, for the summer. Thank you for the crops that are in, and now we need your blessing with weather and for the growth of the crop in the gardens. We thank you, Father, for the physical supply that you give to us to nurture our bodies. And we have been so richly blessed in the past, and we ask your further blessing. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation that came through Jesus Christ and him alone, and we are grateful for that. And then we also thank you for the fathers that we have in our midst this morning and those that might be listening. Father, we are grateful for those fathers that take a stand for you, that have raised godly families and want to show their children to you. And we want to remember those in the past and also at the present. Some have passed on to eternity and are present with you, and we are grateful for that, that you have a place for those that have gone before us and that they lived in faith and also died in faith. And now we ask your blessing upon the worship service this morning. We ask your blessing upon the song that we sing and also the message being brought. Might you alone be honored and glorified. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll have two songs at this time.
Take the red book and turn to number 220. All my sins have been forgiven. 220.
All my sins have been forgiven. God is merciful to me. Faith has claimed a Savior's promise. Grace and pardon, fallen free. Oh, my soul, be ever praising for the great Redeemer's love. Joyous songs to him be raising unto God in heaven above. My account is closed. Christ has paid it all, shed his blood my sin to cover, paid the price to save my soul. There is now no condemnation, I am me, gave me sorrow, shame, and tears. How his wrath and anger crushed me, filled my heart with doubts and fears. soul shall live forever. No more can the foe condemn. Nothing from God's love can sever. Peace and joy are found in Him. Thus I journey on to heaven, cross death's portals joyfully. All my sins have been forgiven, God is merciful to me.
249, have thine own way. 249.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and
thank you for that singing. I don't know if I forgot, but I don't know if I welcome you this morning. You're most welcome, and also guests that are here this morning. Also those that are listening online. You will see that on the list, Corny Swatsky was supposed to be here, but we traded for a reason, and that's because we had plans, so that's why we switched. This morning, I want to speak on communion thanksgiving, but I also want to spend some time on speaking to fathers and who we are in society and what could God design for fathers. What was the purpose that there was fathers? Do we take our leadership or do we not? And what difference would it make? Let's see where it goes. I want to tell you this morning that it's not implied to you as such, it's implied to me as well. And I'm well aware that an application for a father and the privilege that we have of being a father is only one chance, right? Either we do the best or we, and I know, I would confess and I would say I could have done a lot better. But at the same time, we do not want to look at it that way. Maybe what we want, especially with young fathers this morning, there I see some young fathers with young children, we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you as a leader of the home. It's worth it. It's worth it. And you only have one crack, one chance, and they grow up like, I would just about say, like weeds, and it's over. Many of you that are sitting here, I can see your children are from home. And you would say, where's the time? Now we're dealing with grandchildren. And it's fun, isn't it? Grandchildren are fun. Anyhow, let's review Psalm 50, first of all. It has to do with thanksgiving. It has to do with what we just had. We had communion last Sunday. We were reminded by Brother Abe about the sufferings of Christ and how we as humans should be ready, how we should participate and be enriched by the communion and the sacrificial gift. We were reminded of the cup and the bread and what they signified. Psalm 50, I will read two other verses, verse 14 and 15, and then verse 23. Verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving, not just today, but during the year. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, not to ourselves or anybody else, to the one Most High. And we heard the sacrificial gift that Jesus gave, eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it says, and call upon me, referring to God and the Lord Jesus, in the day of trouble. Well, humans have trouble. They have distress. They have need of it. But he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, referring to God, and thou shalt glorify me. See? Talks about a fellowship. That we need him, we cry out to him. He answers, he says, and thou shalt glorify me. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to glorify God for what he has done through Jesus. And then verse 23 of my opening verse, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, the Lord Jesus. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. I believe that word conversation means our conduct in life should demonstrate the salvation of God, that we are believers. We walk after God and Jesus the way he has ordered us, not about after other people, but to offer praise and glorify him for what he has done, especially when we think of communion and that we do have the privilege of having communion. That great price, fathers, we should demonstrate to our children. That's part of our life. That's part of our decision making. You know, you can't fool young children, neither can you fool any child. They know what father's priorities are. You don't have to preach at them, they know it. They see it. And there through, they make this conversation that I talked about in verse 23 and to salvation following Jesus. And therefore, as fathers, we need to be realize that this Christ that Jesus, great price that Jesus paid, we need to accept that as well as fathers and share that with our children, be open about our faith and accept that. You know, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We know that. You simply don't slide into heaven with merely saying, Lord, Lord. The Bible warns against that. Won't happen. And you know, the hypergrace movement, if I may say, has this idea that, we're all sinners. And so if we don't know what to do with sin, then we put it under grace. Someone just told me recently, he says, it looks like the hypergrace movement has this in mind. When many so-called Christians come to heaven's door, and Jesus is the one accepting people into through the door, he is the door. This one person shared with me, he said, it looks like the hypergrace, like, you know, excuse me, Jesus, I'm coming in. You get what I'm saying? Sin is an ugly thing. And it can be forgiven, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we were reminded at communion. Great price by grace. that has to be accepted. And if accepted, we are a prepared people for our prepared place. That follows with a fellowship, with a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Living in the dash is what we're really doing. That instructs us as believers. That instructs us as fathers to judge ourselves and not others. Matthew 7 talks about, judge not lest ye be judged. With what measure you will judge others, you will be judged. The Bible teaches us, why are you so concerned about the speck in your brother's eye when you have a beam in your own? These are teachings. It doesn't say that you shouldn't admonish your brother, but he says, work at your own beam. And don't be so not. But it's interesting that same chapter of chapter 7, Matthew 7, you will find Jesus talks about false prophets and teachers. You know what he says? You shall know them by their fruits. So some or other, we should judge evil and good. He says, you will know false prophets by their fruits, what they do. Their conversation and their conduct, if it's me, myself, and I, glorification or what it is. But to judge each other is really not a good practice. And we as fathers should not do that. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, when we talk about not judging each other, this is what Paul gives the Corinthians for advice. It applies today. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. We are to prove our own selves if we are in the faith. Except, he says, you are non-believers and you are reprobates. Prove. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, which is very often applied to the communion, it has to do with the communion. I will just allude to some verses there. He talks about eating of that bread and drinking from the cup. And then he warns us as well, as believers. Warning is always good. Warning, it's not a discouragement, it should be an encouragement. He says, drinking unworthily, not examining, like 2 Corinthians 13, 5, which I just read, but examining ourselves. But if we don't examine ourselves, if we drink unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That always strikes me. And verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He says, that's your blessing if you do that. That's your blessing. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. He does not discern the Lord's body. And he says, because of this, many are weak and sickly among you. People, that is serious business. If we do not examine ourselves and we are at odds with other people, we get embittered, and bitterness will work on your physical body. That a non-Christian doctor will tell a patient. If you are or I am embittered against people, it'll catch up with you. Maybe not when you're young and busy, but somehow that will catch up. It's better to deal with it and go on. But bitterness has no room in a Christian's heart. And that's why he says, and if it's not dealt with, that's why some people are sick among you. (Clears throat) Romans 12, verses 19 to 21. Let love be without dissimulation. We as fathers, we as people, we as Christians need to express love. Let love without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Oh, bless those that even persecute you. Bless and curse not. Those that are at odds with you, he says, bless them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. That's how Christians should unite each other. Rejoice with those that are happy. Those that have a hard time, weep with those that weep. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent of men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. He does not advise believers to recompense evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you and I, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't take vengeance, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. It's God's thing to revenge. What did we read before? Bless them that persecute you. Here he says, vengeance is his. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy, hey, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. To walk in love. In 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And he says, if you can't do it in love, it's nothing. You haven't done anything. That's what love does. And Matthew 7:12, these are attributes of a Christian father, attribute to a Christian in itself, but because it's Father's Day, we look at what we as fathers could do as leaders of the home, leaders of society. The golden rule says in Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's not hard to understand. If you want to be treated kindly, why wouldn't you treat others kindly? Why would you take it out on others? Because you don't want to be treated that way. So the Bible has reference as how we should, as godly people, conduct ourselves and live in the grace of God. In Luke chapter 10:27, we find a lawyer coming to Jesus. And it says there in verse 25 that this lawyer, he was tempting Jesus. And you know, a lawyer was an educated man. He knew the law. And he says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The lawyer asked. And Jesus replies and says, what is written in the law? How do you read? And the lawyer answers Jesus this way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. We have been through 1 Corinthians 13 of the love chapter. We've looked at some other passages of scripture to walk as brothers and sisters in love. And here he says, the lawyer says, there's two commandments. Firstly, it's vertically. Our strength, our ability to love God, and the next person as ourself, our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus says to the the lawyer says to Jesus, now, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of this person that was half dead beside the road. We know the story. Two people that worked in the church, the Levite and the priest. They passed by this person that lay beside the road, half dead. Had no feeling for the man that was half killed by somebody that walked by and killed this person. Till a Samaritan, a low caste people, passed by, and striking enough, the Bible records, when this Samaritan saw this person lying there, he said he had compassion on him. If we don't have compassion on people, nothing gets done. It's got to be a heart matter if we have compassion on people. And then it says that this Samaritan took him home, took care of him, and the story unravels that way. And then Jesus asked the lawyer, who was the neighbor? And the lawyer said, well, he that showed compassion, not the Levite and not the priest, but the Samaritan that helped him. And then Jesus says, go and do likewise. Jesus understood what compassion was. He was a man of compassion. When the disciples wanted to light a village that was living in sin, he says to he rebuked the disciples and said, you got it all wrong. Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save. He says, you don't know what spirit is telling you that I should burn a group of people. See? But the thing of compassion that the lawyer couldn't understand whose neighbor was, but you must remember that in the beginning it says he was trying to tempt Jesus. And you know, you don't tempt Jesus. He has the final word and he has the truth of the word. Those are the two commandments. So we do well in following the instruction and we will be blessed if we follow what the instructions of Jesus are. You know, I sometimes say that now in the summertime, I know people go fishing and they have fish stories to tell. And I think I've caught one fish in my lifetime. Nevertheless, fishing is a thing of the past. It's biblical. But I can tell you, if you go fishing with Jesus, you will have a success. Jesus said not to only be fish in the water. He says you need to be fishers of men. When we talk about Father's Day, we're talking about men. We shouldn't just be interested in the fish that we catch, but we need to be fishers of men. We need to be busy in the gospel and living in this dash. In Matthew 7:27, you read this. It was tax time. And Jesus said to Peter, Matthew 7:27, I want you to go to the water, cast the hook into the water, and the first fish that comes in, the first, follow instructions, the first fish that comes up, you open the mouth, take the money piece, and go and pay the taxes for you and for me. You read it, Matthew 17:27. And Peter did that. He followed instructions. If you want to be a successful fisher, fish with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? In a spiritual way as well. You live your life with Jesus. You will be fishers of people. I'm convinced. We have another story where they fished. You know, fishing was done in those days quite regularly. That was food on the table. We have another story of fishing where they caught nothing all night and Jesus came out to the scene. He says, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. They threw it on the other side. The net broke. I think it was the net broke. Anyhow, they caught a lot of fish. What I'm trying to amplify or signify or say through this is life lived without Jesus will not be a success. Life without Jesus is not the way to live. Fathers, life without Jesus is not the way to win your children. Children know if you live with Jesus. They know. At this time, we want to go on our bended knee for those that are able to pray, and I have two prayer requests. Please pray for Jody Gertson. She has not been well since March and is waiting for further tests. That's Jody Gertson. She's not been well. She's waiting for further tests. And then we have another prayer request for John and Betty Dick. They live in Rheinfeld. John is in Health Science Center and not doing well. Pray for healing and wisdom for the doctors to be able to help them. Let's remember Jody Gertson as well as John and Betty Dick. Let us unite and go on our knees for those that are evil. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take the blue book and turn to number 166, The Love of God. 166, for those that are able, let's stand.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to measure. fail, and where the skies of parchment fade, where every star on earth a quail, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. The
reminding us of the praise and the glory that we should show our God and our Jesus on this Thanksgiving communion, of having communion, I choose to read some verses out of Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Thus far. David reminds himself as well as us today that we might bless the Lord, all his soul, and not forget all his benefits. Oh, we people forget. We forget. But he says, do not forget all his benefits. And what are some of the things he lists? He lists the things of forgiveness of sin, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who heals our body and diseases, who redeems our life from destruction. It's Jesus. And we need to be reminded as well. Fathers are needed in society. Fathers are needed for leaders in the home, leaders in society. In marriages, we need a godly father. Otherwise, there's a downfall and a breakup in the family. Men and women that take leadership should be discerning over their family, their positions. If not, we know that our education system, if it's not tuned godly, it will destroy society. With it, it will bring down the church as well as the country. It can. It needn't. It can. Now, some people might say that's quite negative. Well, that's the fact of the matter. Either you're in one side or the other side of the fence, but you're not sitting on the fence. Mike Youssef the other day said on the message, he says, as a person, you can't believe you're sitting on the fence because you're saying nothing, you're quiet. He says, you are taking a position, even if you say nothing. To sit on the fence is very dangerous. I would call it lukewarmness. That's lukewarmness. And we don't need fathers or parents with lukewarmness. In the years past of the Mennonite history, I find that the father, yeah, he maybe ruled even the household, which was not healthy. I'm not saying that. There has to be a balance. At the same time, the father directed the family in many things and most everything. And the father and the mother together, maybe not always the same, They instructed their children where modesty was, where the limits were overbound. And that is our assignment as well. To let the children go just the ways they want to, that's not really what the Bible instructs of a father and mother. We must ourselves exercise modesty, but that imply that to our children. How will they know? Not in the education system, not in the world, where modesty is. You know, I thought of it this week when I prepared this message. What would I find about godly fathers in the Bible? Well, I know Zacchaeus. I thought of Zacchaeus. He was a father. He climbed onto that sycamore tree, and Jesus passed by, and he came down. Jesus says, come down. Today is your day. And people ridiculed Jesus for going into a sinner's home. But while Jesus was present at Zacchaeus' house, this is what happened. Things were made right there. Reconciliation was made. It doesn't say these words, but Zacchaeus accepted the plan of Jesus. Because it says there, Zacchaeus was saved and all his household. That's the impression I get. If a father submits with his heir to the Lord Jesus Christ, he affects his whole household. If the leader of the home humbles himself, the children follow. That's what I read out of that Zacchaeus account. In John 4:53, it says, there's a father that has a sick son, and he is healed. And after he is healed, the father says this, verse 53. So the father knew that it was the same hour that his son was healed, in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole household, they believed. Can we see the importance and an image of a father? Then I thought of some other men in the Old Testament. Abraham, I believe, was a strong image of a good father, Abraham. Abraham gave everything. In fact, when it was time that Abraham saw that there was things weren't going well with between him and Lot in their farming years, Abraham said to Lot one morning, and I take it was a morning, he said, the meeting is on. Me and Abraham and Lot, we're going to divide some land. And how it was divided, it's not recorded. But this is what Abraham said. You choose. The younger nephew, Lot, chose, and Abraham got the rest. Well, Abraham knew as a godly man, he was in tune with God. He knew that he was going to get a blessing, and that's what he wanted. He wanted the blessing of God. How that ever turned out is not recorded, but the application that Abraham makes as a godly man is the way to do it. He says, you make first choice, I'll take what's left over. I don't find that God instructed him, Abraham, to do it. It was God working through Abraham and said, this fighting between employees is going to quit. We're going to divide. And I'll let you choose. And you know what happened? Lot chose Sodom. Later it was burnt. I find a godly example in Abraham. How about the person that we find of Job? Read the book of Job. His wife even says, why don't you just die and deny God? And his friends come and console and he loses everything, his children, everything. And when everything was over, and finally over, He got three, I believe, seven sons, three daughters, and a big portion. I don't exactly know the details, but he was blessed for being faithful, Job. And there will be others as well. In Ephesians 6, it talks about a family unit and how it should be orchestrated. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, with which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And it says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The admonition of the Lord is supposed to be brought up, bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. It's the responsibility of the father as a leader of the home, but it's also the caution that fathers are not to provoke their children. It's all right to remind your children. To provoke, I take, is simply nagging and nagging and not quit nagging. It does not mean that we shouldn't warn them, absolutely. I forget the Old Testament character that did not warn his sons, and the result was not good. He suffered later on what their sons chose to do because the father did not warn his sons. And so the father should warn them, but not provoke them. Now, what that actually looks like might be a different nature for different children and how the father brings the message across. But we should not provoke our children to wrath, that they get angry. But we need to nurture and admonish them in the Lord. In the Lord. Luke 17. As to forgiveness, it says there in Luke 17, 4 and 5, and if he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So seven times a day is what Jesus suggests we should do, forgive people. There is nothing but we are obligated to forgive each other. And that's what Jesus instructed here in Luke. Like I mentioned, that how important it is for godly fathers to be inspired by the word and to live an exemplary life and conduct and conversation that will stabilize or structurally make something sound in the family as well as in church, society. That's what this country needs, and all countries need that. That will bring about good leadership in the church. And it's interesting that the Bible really has no clear recipe as what a father should do or shouldn't do, other than to follow what the Bible says, to live in love, and even in the family. And love might be different in some occasions, but at the same time, love is love, and I think sometimes we have that twisted. We think that we can let children go with something that is contrary to the Bible. That's not love. The lawyer said you need to love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's vertically, the next person to ourselves, that's horizontally. So if we take that, we love God from all our heart, mind, and soul, then we love the Bible and the destruction of the Bible. What is wrong, and when a father, through love, brings it about, horizontally brings it across, then children need to follow that to have a blessing. And if they don't, they won't get a blessing. To you as children, I want to say this morning, obey your parents to get a blessing. You might not always understand, but I know for myself, if I had to relive life, I would be more obedient, even if I didn't understand, because I know now and I understand it brings a blessing. And it's never too late. We can always make things right. Even if our parents aren't around, we can always make it right vertically. And he understands. He understands where we've slipped. So on this Father's Day and this Thanksgiving communion, I want to conclude with two verses found in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is not in vain. Fathers, don't give up. Don't be weary in well-doing, according to Galatians 6. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It might look vain to people, or sometimes you might be down. It isn't. God will reward you. Another verse to you as fathers and to all of us, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 to 14. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's conclude in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your written word. Thank you that we have the Bible and that we can freely look into it and that we have the Holy Spirit that if we are your children. We pray for fathers. We pray for young fathers that you might bless them with discernment, and that you might give discerning also not to provoke, but try their very best by the strength of your help to live godly, to raise godly families. That's the fiber of society. That's the fiber of the church. Parents, godly parents, and we are grateful that we have those people. We just ask for a blessing upon them. We ask your blessing upon those that have come this morning, and also that your word exemplifies how we should walk in love and be forgiving. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. For those that are able, for closing, let's kneel for our silent word of prayer. The Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. This morning, before we sing a song, we have a couple here that has applied for membership, and the couple are Peter and Sarah Wolf of 22 Medora Bay here in Winkler, and they are here this morning, and I would ask Peter and Sarah to please stand up. Thank you. You may be seated, and we want to pray for them, and if there is no grievances or anything, we will be accepting them next Sunday. Thank you.
Just take your blue hymnal and turn to number 224, No Not One. 224.
There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us, no, not one, no, not one. No night so dark that his love can cheer us, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Did ever saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not no, not one.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Abe, for bringing us the message this morning, and thank you, song leaders and pianists, for also leading us in singing. Just a few short announcements. Fellowship lunch is on the last Sunday, which is June 28th, after the service in the dining hall. Everyone is welcome, and please bring a dish to share. Now, the back of the bulletin, I'd just like to go through the prayer list here. Prayers and condolences to John Thiessen and family on the passing of his wife, Elizabeth Thiessen, on May 23rd, 2026. Please continue to pray for a 6-year-old Maverick and his family. Here's an update as of June 18th. Last weekend, Maverick had two emergency surgeries. The first one was to replace his chest tube with a bigger one. He has fluid around his lungs, stomach, and heart. The second one was to remove his port due to infection and put it back in at a different place. Praise the Lord that he can breathe a little bit better now. Please pray that he won't need oxygen anymore so that he will be able to walk around and that chemo will shrink the cancer. Please pray for a young mom and her family. The young mom had a heart attack and was taken to St. Boniface Hospital. She is a niece of Pete and Ann Tykrobe. Bill Thiessen, who is in the Boundary Trail Hospital Center, is improving. Thank you to the church for the prayers, and please continue to pray. Also, for Bill's roommate at Boundary Trails Hospital, Ken is suffering a lot and has a lot of pain. Please pray for him. And then also, the baptism candidates that we had this spring, Deanna Craker, Vailey Peters, Jordan Unra, Levi Wall, and Ernie Wall. And pray for Debbie Giesbrecht for strength and increased mobility and pain relief, and also the ministerial and all the families, the Sunday school students, youth leaders, and teachers, and all the governments, not just the provincial, but federal. Keep them in our prayers. And also, I don't know if all of you will have heard about this terrible accident that was in Ontario. In southern Ontario, there was a family that lost 5 children in one accident. Keep them in your prayers, because they'll need that. And also this terrible accident that was just south of Winkler last week. Keep the Crohn's in your prayers. That was a terrible accident, and then they need a lot of strength to get through. Thank you.
I want to thank you all for coming out this morning. To you as fathers as well. And as we wrap up what we have learned this morning, it applies to the fathers, but it applies to everyone, as well as myself. The Bible is not decisive on just one person or one group of people. It's to the whole world. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is not just for some people, it's for everyone. And we're so easy to forget all our benefits. So fathers, as you go fishing, make your choice to fish with Jesus. That's an application 7 days a week. Doesn't mean you have to be in the water, but you're in tune, you're in line fishing with Jesus. And things will go well. As you have Father's Day gatherings, children, many of you don't have fathers anymore, but those that have fathers, I know maybe it's not in the Mennonite culture as much that you hug your fathers, but I would venture out, go and hug your father, or simply give a good comment of who he is, what he's done for you. Many of us that if we only had the choice, we would do that, but it's too late. In spite of that, if it's too late, we can always make it vertically. Jesus understands our shortcomings, and he always lets us have another chance. But be good to your fathers, children. Be good to each other. And we're only blessed if we do that. Numbers chapter 6, 24 and on. I will conclude the service this morning and dismiss. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Have a most blessed day. Thank you for coming.